Hi, friends. Happy Wednesday night. I heard Dove talk about a couple of things. One thing I heard him talk about, of course, is our belief in our own unworthiness. And in fact, that's one of the things we're going to be talking about tonight. I'm giving you a link right now to reginadonacres.com. November 2005. This is Holy Spirit Guides, which means this is the period of time we've set aside to go over all of the messages that Holy Spirit has shared with me in order. We began in 2004, and now we're up to November 2005. And tonight, the message that we're going to be beginning with is from Monday, November 14th. And it's called The Belief in My Unworthiness. So that's where we're going to be starting. Another thing I heard Dove talk about was Christmas. I heard him say something about Christmas. And it immediately reminded me of my favorite Christmas song. And I thought I would just start with that. My favorite Christmas song is actually a Mariah Carey song. It's called All I Want for Christmas Is You. And whenever I hear this song, I think of Holy Spirit, or someone else might think of the Christ. But when I hear this song, what I think about is that this is all I want to know. This is what I want for Christmas. This is all I want to know. This is all I want to see. This is all I want to feel, hear, experience. So that's what this song means to me, and I absolutely love it. So let me start by playing my Christmas song, and then we'll go into prayer. Here we go. All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
Underneath the Christmas tree,
I love that song. I love that song. I think it's a great song. It always puts me in a very, very good mood. All I want for Christmas is you. So, tell you what, let's, you know, in the song, of course, the Holy Spirit is baby. All I want is for Christmas is you, baby. So let's go into prayer with our baby, our Holy Spirit, and turn this next hour over to him or it, however you see the Holy Spirit, or her, if you like. Here we go. Holy Spirit, first of all, I come to you in gratitude. Gratitude for absolutely everything. Because although I could never possibly, with this thinking mind, understand how, I know that everything is working together for the awakening of your one Son, of our one mind, of our oneness, awakening us to see ourself as we are, to love ourself as we are, to embrace ourself as we are, without any shadows, any hidden areas that are not awakened, no exceptions, full awakening, full brightness, full love. And since that is the purpose of all things, then I can only be grateful for everything because that is the purpose of my heart. So Holy Spirit, I thank you very much for everything. And I ask you to guide me within all things and within all situations, because certainly I cannot understand where I am or why I'm there or what I am to do. It would be absolutely impossible for me to figure it out for myself. So what I ask from you is that you continue to give me the subtle reminders to surrender. Continue to give me the reminders that I do not know, so that I can surrender and then feel the promptings as to what to do, what to say, where to go, without any concern at all for what that is, with my heart only being focused on awakening to our full and perfect and beautiful love as it is now. Holy Spirit, tonight as we go over these messages that you gave me seemingly in the past, I ask that you help us to see tonight, right now, whatever is most helpful for each and every one of us to see right now. And I thank you in advance for the gift that you are about to give. Amen. All right. I see a lot of friends in the room. That's a lot of fun. Here's the link again. This is to reginadonacres.com. November 2005. That's where we are in Holy Spirit Guides. And when you get to November 2005, you can scroll down to Monday, November 14th, 2005. We're going to find a message that is titled, The Belief in My Unworthiness. We're going to jump right in with both feet, I think. And so, it looks like I started with a question. So let's read my question. And by the way, I think everybody in the room knows me, but there might be a couple new people here. So I just want to say that at any point, if you have something that you feel inspired to share, or if you have a question, just put your hand up and I will turn the mic over to you. All right. Here we go. Holy Spirit, I was surprised this morning when I close my eyes to pray to find that my first thought was, I am unworthy of you. Contained within that thought is the belief in separation and inherent guilt. As I hold this thought out to the light, what would you like to share? And Holy Spirit says, how can you be unworthy of yourself. Surely, this thought must be based on illusion, for I am the essence of you. All that is me is coming from you now. There is no separation. So, of course, what Holy Spirit is doing here in just a couple of sentences is going directly to the core to show me that my thought that I am unworthy of the Holy Spirit, that my thought absolutely must be false and cannot make any sense at all. This is what I call Holy Spirit logic. The Holy Spirit is showing me this thought doesn't make any sense at all. And in fact, today it amazes me how much I held to this thought in years like 2005 when I was having frequent conversations with Holy Spirit. Not only was I having the conversations that we see posted at reginadonacres.com, but I was also in the process of receiving NTI at the time. So I was spending all morning literally in conversation with Holy Spirit, this beautiful, beautiful, loving, wise voice in my mind. And that's the clincher, in my mind. And I still thought I was separate from it. I still thought I was unworthy of it. I didn't see that the love was me. That's amazing to me. It's amazing that it could be so obvious and that I still missed it. But that's how blinded we are by these false thoughts in our mind. This is why A Course in Miracles teaches us that what we need to do is find and let go of the obstacles to love's presence. Obviously, that means that love is present within us now. But the obstacles to love's presence blind us to the obvious. And I think there's no better proof than me. There's no better proof than me how ridiculously blinded we can be. I mean, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thoughts and words coming through me every day, obviously from the heart of love. Great, great wisdom that was way beyond any wisdom that I consciously held. And yet, even though it was coming right into my mind, I still denied that it was me, that it was of me, that I was one with it. And Holy Spirit's just pointing the ridiculousness of that out to me here, because at some point we have to look at these false ideas and see that they are false. See that they are ridiculous, and we need to let go of them, and we need to accept the truth. And the truth is, guys, the truth is that we are love. That is what we are. So Holy Spirit is saying, how can you be unworthy of yourself? You can see what a ridiculous idea that is. How can you be unworthy of yourself? Surely this thought must be based on illusion, for I am the essence of you. All that is me is coming from you now. There is no separation. And then I said, I have been haunted since answering a question about death yesterday, and this is a question we went over 2 weeks ago in our last Holy Spirit guides. I have been haunted since answering a question about death yesterday. I think I am haunted because the answer came from thoughts in my mind, and yet I don't understand them. I cannot imagine the complexity of which they spoke. It left me feeling afraid that I do not know anything. That leaves me feeling completely out of control. And I'm laughing at this now, and I'll tell you why I'm laughing. You know, again, we're seeing, we're seeing what we could call progress. This was in November of 2005, so about 3 years ago. And notice that I said that I was afraid of these words that came through my mind because of the complexity. But what really scared me was that they left me feeling that I do not know anything, and that left me feeling completely out of control. Well, what's funny now is that now I actually get comfort from realizing I don't know anything. Hold on, Jasmine just walked in the room. Did you want to say goodnight, my love? Good night, kiss. Sleep well. Okay, she's going to bed. But what's funny is then the thought that I don't know anything scared me. It scared me a lot because, of course, I felt in control through understanding, through feeling like the thinking mind had a handle on things. And I was starting to realize that maybe I didn't know anything, and that was scaring me. But now, you know, if we advance 3 years later, now I actually get a lot of comfort out of the same idea. Whenever I can feel stress starting to rise in my mind or fear starting to rise in my mind, I realize the reason I'm feeling stressed or the reason I'm feeling fearful is because I think I know something. And so as soon as I realize, wait a minute, I don't know anything. Now I get great relief from that. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I don't know anything. Because if I knew what I thought I knew, then I would have, you know, these limits that I believe in, and you know, all this fearful stuff, you know, would be true. So I realize now that what my thinking mind thinks it knows, you know, isn't helpful. And that is where my fear and my stress comes from. And so I'm really grateful when I remember that I don't know. Because when I remember that I don't know, I open up to God. I open up to any possibility. I open up to things that I would never imagine. That brings me great comfort. So you can see that in a few years, I have changed. But at this point, in November of 2005, I was just beginning to realize that maybe I didn't know anything, and it was scaring me because it was feeling like the control that I believed in was being taken away from me, and I was afraid of loss of control, afraid that if I wasn't in control, something bad was going to happen. So let's go ahead and see what Holy Spirit says to that. I'll tell you what, let me read the question again, and then we'll go into the answer. The question: I have been haunted since answering a question about death yesterday. I think I am haunted because the answer came from thoughts in my mind, and yet I don't understand them. I cannot imagine the complexity of which they spoke. It left me feeling afraid that I do not know anything. That leaves me feeling completely out of control. And Holy Spirit says, let go of your desire to understand. Let go of your desire to make sense of it all, to make peace out of chaos. This is an opportunity to simply forgive. And at this point in my life, you know, November 2005, I would say, who knew, at least for me, who knew that forgiveness was surrender? I don't think I knew. I was just beginning to learn. You know, who knew that forgiveness and surrender are synonymous? That letting go of trying to control, letting go of trying to have self-will, letting go of thinking I know is the same thing as forgiveness. I didn't know that then, but obviously this is what Holy Spirit is beginning to teach me. I said, to let go, I need to quit thinking about it and quit trying to figure it out. That's funny. Now, notice that I did get it. I was just afraid of it, but I did get it. I did understand that Holy Spirit was asking me to quit thinking and quit trying to figure it out. So I got what I was being asked to do. I just didn't like it. But I wasn't stupid, just resistant. To let go, I'm saying. I know what this let go thing is that you're asking me to do. To let go, I need to quit thinking about it and quit trying to figure it out. It's funny how scary that is. I'm afraid of losing face because I cannot defend what I wrote. And again, I'm referring to a message I wrote the previous day, really at someone else's request, answering someone else's question. And I didn't understand the message myself at that time, so I was very afraid of it. Holy Spirit's answer: don't worry about defending it. Remember the source of those words. If you are asked to explain them, and you have let go of the desire to defend them, the words needed to explain will be given you in that moment, and it will be perfect and effortless for you. Now, you can imagine that at this time, that idea was making my little heart beat like crazy. The idea that I didn't need to understand that if I was ever asked, I would just have to open my mouth, and then the words would come that would explain. Again, this is that total loss of control that the thinking mind thinks it has. And for me at this point, that was a scary idea. Holy Spirit said, now let all thought about that writing go. Trust that it is serving its purpose. And I said, I'm scared, but okay. I am willing to do this. So here we go with that little bit of willingness. I am willing to do this. I am willing to trust you. I am willing. Please help me. This feels like a biggie. It feels like letting go of Regina. But I am willing for that too. So you can tell that I'm starting to get it. By this point, I've been studying A Course in Miracles for a year and a half, and it looks like I'm starting to get it. I'm starting to realize that I am being asked to let go of Regina. I'm starting to realize that I am being asked to let go of the control that I think I have in the thinking mind. And I'm scared, but the good news is I give my willingness. And isn't that what Holy Spirit asks us to do? And give our willingness. So this is probably why 3 years later I'm laughing at the same message. I'm sure I was terrified then, but I gave my willingness. And because I gave my willingness, miracles occurred within the mind, shifts occurred within the mind, and they're still occurring, of course. But now I'm not afraid of the same ideas that I was afraid of 3 years ago, and this is a blessing. So I'll just let go of the mic for a second and see if anybody has anything they want to share before we go to our next message. All right. It's possible a few more people entered the room, so I'm going to give the link again. This is a link to reginadonacres.com, November 2005. And what we're doing now is we are scrolling to Tuesday, November 15th. If you were reading the last message with me on unworthiness, you're going to scroll up to Tuesday, November 15th, and we have a message called Your Brother is Your Gift to Yourself. I like the title. I don't remember the message yet, but I like the title. Let me get a drink of Pepsi, and then we'll continue. Okay, so here is the question I asked that day. Holy Spirit, through your guidance, I just read The Rewards of God in A Course in Miracles, Chapter 4. What would you share with me now? Answer. Your brother is your gift to yourself. Seen through the eyes of the ego, he is a scapegoat, responsible for all things evil, responsible for all of your misery and pain. But seen through me, he is a gift of healing that you have given yourself, so you may see your pain and suffering and let it go as unreal. When you look at your brother, remember you are looking at me, for there is no separation of any kind. So the blot you see on your brother is a blot you see on me. If you remember who I am, then you remember that this block cannot be real. So it must be imagined. So there we go. Holy Spirit is asking me, when I look at every single one of my brothers, remember that I'm looking at him, the Holy Spirit. And by this time, again, by November of 2005, I've been listening to Holy Spirit in words in my mind for a year, which means I know the Holy Spirit. I know it's love. I know it's non-judgment. I know it's comfort. And certainly, I do not see a single solitary blot on the Holy Spirit. And so Holy Spirit is saying, when you look at your brother, remember that what you're looking at is me. So if you see anything else, anything that you don't recognize as me, then what you're looking at is unreal. It's imagined. It's not true. And as I think I've told you guys before, I'm not what some people would call a bliss ninny. And by that I mean, if I don't actually get it, I can't just say, okay, it's not real. At some level within me where I need to really know it's not real. I need to get it. But what's happened is that I have gotten it. So if I look at my brother and I see something that could be perceived as a blot, what I understand now is that my brother, for example, let's say my brother is heavily criticizing another brother. I've been seeing a lot of that lately, so it's a great example. Let's say my brother is heavily criticizing, judging another brother. At one time, I would have seen that as a blot, and I would have judged the brother that was judging. So, I would have jumped right in the pool of judgment with him. But what I've come to see now is that all that's really happening is that, there are these ego thoughts in our one mind because we put them there. And all that's really happening is that the brother who is speaking from judgment right now is just believing those thoughts. He's just believing thoughts that we put in the mind. And when I see that the brother is just believing thoughts that we put in the mind, I'm no longer seeing that brother as guilty, which means I'm no longer seeing a blot. I actually see an innocent son of God just believing thoughts, just not awake yet. It's not a blot at all. And so it makes it very easy for me to look at something like a brother seriously judging, another brother, and truly realize, not in the bliss in any way, but in a really heartfelt way, truly realize that it's not real. And it's funny, there isn't even a need for forgiveness, because the truth is there's nothing to forgive. And this is really what the Course says. The Course says that forgiveness itself is an illusion, and it is. Once the innocence is truly seen, there's just nothing to forgive at all anymore. But this is where Holy Spirit's beginning to teach me these things. This is where Holy Spirit is teaching me to get these things. And yeah, Peter is saying bliss in any way. And what I mean by bliss in any way is, and I'm certainly not accusing anyone of being a bliss in any way, because I would never know if somebody else was or not. What I do know is I have seen those tendencies in me before. So I'm aware that, again, bliss and inniness is a possibility that exists in our mind. I know it because I've seen it in my mind. Bliss and inniness is out of fear, denying something without truly seeing that it's not real. And that's what I would call bliss and inni. It's out of fear, accepting a right-minded idea, denying something, but it's denying it without truly at a level of depth seeing that it's not real. So that's what I would call a bliss ninny, out of fear, exercising right-minded ideas. And I know that that's possible because I've done it myself. So I know that we all have that possibility. But it didn't stick with me because it didn't feel right. So in order for me to say something is not real, I have to see that it's not real. It's a real scene that occurs. And that's still peace. That's still bliss. But for me, it's not the same as bliss nini because I'm not pretending it's not real when I think it is. You see the difference? I'm truly seeing that it's not real. I'm truly seeing that it's not meaningful. And so that is not bliss nini, but it certainly does result in peace and happiness and bliss. And it allows me to overlook things that at one time I would not be able to overlook. So, yeah, I can see that Peter understands. I'm glad that he paused me and had me explain. Because I do know that bliss nini also gets thrown around as a judgment. But anything that gets thrown around as a judgment is just an error, you know. And really, the only thing we need, the only reason we need to be aware of these tendencies like bliss nini is because we all share the same ego possibilities. And so we want to learn about them, not so we can judge our brothers, but so we can discern within ourselves. This is why we want to be aware of the ego's tricks. And the ego has plenty of them. You know, the spiritual ego is grand. You know, and those of us on the spiritual path, the spiritual ego is the one we really need to watch out for. So we do want to expose the spiritual ego. We do want to become aware of its tricks, not so that we can point at our brothers and say, look there, spiritual ego over there. That's a total waste of our time. No, we want to become familiar with the spiritual ego so that we can watch for it in ourselves. So that we can make sure we are truly awakening. Remember, my only responsibility is to accept the atonement for myself. And bliss nini is, you know, which again is accepting right-minded ideas out of fear, which means not really looking, not really knowing the truth. That is a possibility in our mind, and I know it is because I've seen it within my mind. But then there's also, with Holy Spirit's help, there's also a way to really see that these things are not true. And then forgiveness is a piece of cake. And like I said, there's not even anything left to forgive. So again, this is what Holy Spirit is beginning to teach me, is that when I'm looking at anyone, I'm really looking at the Holy Spirit. And any blot that I think I see is just imagined. And it's imagined within our one mind. Here's another great confusion I used to have. And you know, you do know confusion, or at least I know confusion, because confusion kind of hurts. It hurts me when I'm confused. One confusion that I used to have, for example, is that if I saw a brother heavily criticizing a brother, that somehow I was guilty for even seeing that. Does anybody follow me on this? Has anybody else had this confusion? That if I had a healed mind, I would never even see one brother speaking words criticizing another. That's another confusion, and you got to know it's a confusion because it hurts when you feel that way. There's a feeling in it, and in fact, what you're doing is you're putting a judgment on yourself. When Holy Spirit says these blots are imagined, he's not really meaning that the individual is imagining the blot. The one mind is imagining the blot. Remember I said that the reason I can now see a brother seemingly heavily criticizing another and not judge him is because I understand he's just listening to ideas we put in the mind. In other words, he's just listening to our imagined ideas. And he just hasn't learned yet that our imagined ideas, which seem very real, are only imagined ideas. So, again, yeah, he is me. There's no difference between him and me. So it's our imagination. And maybe I'm waking up to the idea that it's our imagination. And maybe, you know, this seeming brother over here hasn't quite awakened yet. But it doesn't change the fact that the idea is being believed or imagined and not real. And as long as I know that the idea is being believed or imagined and not real, then again, I have nothing at all to forgive. I see no guilt anywhere because I realize that the blot is imagined. I realize that the blot is imagined. But if I look at my brother and I do think he's guilty, then I, in that moment, am involved in believing the blot. If I'm judging, I'm the one who's believing the blot. I'm the one who's believing the imagination. And again, we want to remember that our only job is to accept the atonement for ourselves. So the only thing we really need to worry about, worry's not the right word, but the only thing we need to be concerned about, the only thing we need to watch for is truly, 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 with all honesty, what's going on in my mind. And that's my job. Truly, 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 with all honesty, what is going on in my mind? What is it that I am seeing? Am I seeing a guilty brother? Or am I just seeing an innocent brother who's just believing thoughts that we put in the mind? And understanding that it has no reality to it at all. So again, back to the message. Holy Spirit says, when you look at your brother, remember you are looking at me. For there is no separation of any kind. So the blot you see on your brother is a blot you see on me. If you remember who I am, then you may remember that this blot cannot be real, so it must be imagined. Then you may ask yourself, who imagined this blot? Since it is you who perceives the blot, you must be the imaginer. There is great joy in this realization, because if you have done the imagining, you can choose to stop imagining, and the blot disappears. This is when you realize that the blot was within your own mind. Now, the blot here is guilt. That's what the blot is. It's guilt. So if I am looking at my brother and I think my brother is guilty, that's always, always, always an error in my mind. And there's not a single exception to that in the whole wide world. That's always, always, always an error in my mind. And Holy Spirit says, and that's the good news. Because if it's in your mind, then you are the one imagining the blot, or you are the one imagining the guilt, which means you can choose to stop imagining it. Or you can ask Holy Spirit to help you see differently. And the reason this is great news is because we're never free when we think we see our brother as guilty. I mean, I do know that before I started studying A Course in Miracles, I thought I was happy. I really did. You know, somewhere in A Course in Miracles, Jesus tells us that we aren't happy. And I, you know, called Jesus a liar. I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm happy. How dare you, Jesus, accuse me of not being happy? So the first thing Jesus had to do with me was teach me that I wasn't happy. And indeed, I wasn't. And indeed, I wasn't. There was a lot of stress in my life. There were a lot of people I didn't like. You know, all of this stuff that now I look back on it, I realize I wasn't happy. I was just so far in denial, I didn't even know I wasn't happy. But the truth is, if we're the ones seeing guilt, if we're the ones judging, we aren't happy. It's impossible to be happy carrying that burden around. So that's why it is good news. It's very, very good news that if I see guilt, it's my error. Because all I have to do is change my mind and I am free. I can truly be happy. I can really be happy. If the guilt wasn't in my mind, if it was real guilt, I'd be stuck with it. I'd be victim of the guilt out there. And I could never be happy because of all the guilt out there. But if I accept that any guilt that I see is in my mind, then I am also accepting the freedom of changing my mind and then being perfectly happy. It's really a wonderful, wonderful blessing that we're the one that creates our own pain. Because it also means that, you know, we can change our mind. So again, Holy Spirit says, you may ask yourself, who imagined this blot? Since it is you who perceives the blot, you must be the imaginer. There is great joy in this realization. Because if you have done the imagining, You can choose to stop imagining, and the blot disappears. This is when you realize that the blot was within your own mind. So it is through this process of forgiveness that you are healing yourself. See, there's the good news. There's the good news. We're healing ourselves. We're teaching ourselves to be truly happy. Through forgiveness, you take away your pain and misery. And all this you were able to do because your brother, who is me, showed you the blot within your mind so you could choose to be healed. Now, this is a great interpretation of what looks like guilt. A great, great interpretation of what looks like guilt. Now, I'm going to go into a once upon a time. A similar story is happening right now, but I can't tell the similar story because I'm not reacting to it the same way. So even though it looks like it's still occurring, the truth is I'm not reacting the same way. So for me, it's not still occurring. So I have to go into a once upon a time. I'm going to say once upon a time on the peace of God. And in fact, for me, this was like last April and May. So it was a little bit ago. There seemed to be a few people attacking Regina Dawn Akers online, saying all kinds of stuff about her. And what happened for me, of course, was that actually the first few emails didn't really faze me. They didn't, because I knew that what the people were saying wasn't true, so I wasn't fazed. But then one friend, who truly is a friend now, one friend wrote something that was a little more personal. And I was hurt. I was offended. And I wanted to write an email back, you know, defending myself, saying, no, you're wrong, and here's the proof. And, of course, I definitely saw that guy as guilty. Guilty as hell of making up lies about me when he didn't know me from Adam, right? This is how I was feeling. But Holy Spirit in my mind, the first thing I heard from Holy Spirit was, step away from the keyboard. And of course, the reason I was told immediately to step away from the keyboard is because I was ready to fire off a defensive email. So I stepped away from the keyboard and I went over there to the love seat, which is about 3 feet away. And I sat down and I started practicing forgiveness the way Holy Spirit had taught me to practice forgiveness. And one thing that I've been taught to do is, first of all, let go of the thoughts in my mind. So the thoughts in my mind about everything that was said in this email, how unfair it was, how this guy didn't know me, how dare he say that. All of these thoughts I just needed to let go of, and not continue to let them spin and talk to me in my mind. Because I had listened to them for a short time, there already was a lot of emotions. Emotions, really, that I was being treated unfair is the best way. I mean, they were, you know, anger emotions and that kind of thing. But really, they were based on the idea that I was being treated unfairly by what this man was saying about me online. So I had these being treated unfairly emotions. So first I let go of the thoughts, then I still have the emotion. So what I needed to do was just sit and be with the emotions. So that's what I did. I just sat with a silent mind. I let go of the thoughts. I sat with a silent mind, and I just let my mind focus on how I was feeling. And I just felt it. And I don't know how long I did this, not that long, you know, a few minutes, maybe 10. I mean, I really don't remember now. But literally a miracle occurred, and it occurred so fast that I couldn't miss it. I was sitting there feeling these, you know, being treated unfairly emotions, feeling these emotions, focusing on the emotions, and then, boom, instantly my perception changed to pure love for this same brother, because instantly I saw that he was helping me to let go of the ego. And I knew there was nothing I wanted more than that. I mean, suddenly, all of these emotions of being treated unfairly, they just transformed. I mean, miraculously, this is why it's called a miracle. They just transformed into pure gratitude and pure love. I swear to God, if that man had walked in my living room door at that moment, I would have grabbed him and hugged him and kissed him and said thank you, because I saw so clearly that he was helping me to let go of the ego. And that's what I want. It turned into a perfect gift. Yeah, that's it, Peter is saying. That's a miracle. And as you guys may know, those emails still lasted for some time. In the end, I ended up having a reflection of that miracle in form. This man and I are now friends. I mean, we're friends. He even called me a couple of nights ago. We had a great conversation on the phone. We exchange like friends on the peace of God now, asking each other questions. And so that eventually, several months later, that miracle was reflected in form. But it started with being willing to accept the Holy Spirit's interpretation of what seemed to be an attack. And this, again, this is the same interpretation Holy Spirit is giving us in this last paragraph of this message. Listen, Holy Spirit says, "So, it is through this process of forgiveness that you are healing yourself. Through forgiveness, you take away your pain and misery. And all of this you were able to do because your brother, who is me, showed you the blot within your mind so you could choose to be healed." I mean, when our brothers seem to be attacking us, for example, you know, seem to be criticizing us, seem to be hating us, seem to be rejecting us, seem to be using us, seem to be betraying us, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of that is that they are providing us with the opportunity to find everything in our mind that is an obstacle to love's presence so that we can truly see it and let it go and be freer. And yeah, as Peter is saying, thank God for my brothers. In fact, it kind of mixed with the line above that. Above that, Peter wrote beautiful, and what I kind of saw was, thank God for my beautiful brothers. Thank God for my beautiful brothers. You know, we couldn't do it without each other. We can't be without each other. So you know what? We might as well love and appreciate each other, because if we're doing anything else, we're just hurting ourselves. And Holy Spirit is teaching us how to love each other, how to see each other, even within this illusion of separation and attack. So once again, I will just let go of the mic for a second and see if anybody else wants to jump in here and share. All right, Dave the Wave, please take the mic.
Hi, Gina. Yeah, ever since I realized this whole thing is an experiential thing and not an intellectual thing, which I didn't know. Somebody should have told me. Nobody told me. Everything is brought back home to me. If you spot it, you do have it. It's just you projecting. And so since I know it's experiential, then the weight just, I have to say there's a weight on, I feel like I have a weight on myself. Like it's like I realize that this is real. This is happening right now. And I can let my brother go. And I can be happy, and it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. But I really see myself doing this, you know, looking right at the Holy Spirit, looking right at God, and making up another story about him. Like I'm looking right at my brother, the Holy Son of God, and making up a story about him. And I can see that more clearly now. So in a way, it's really, I can really let go, but at the same time, I can really feel where I don't know if I want to let that go. And I'm going through that right now. It's kind of like, how could you not say this? We're talking about joy. We're talking about love, and you want to still think you know something about this guy. You know, and jeez. Yeah, I'm sharing. I don't know if it's good to share, but you know what I mean? It really is real. This is not intellectual. This is really letting go and really feeling joy and love and peace. Here's some mic.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing to me is what I call the biggies. I mean, there are some things in my mind, you know, that I've seen, and once I saw it, I just let go of it. You know, just, oh, I get it. I'm wrong. I let go of it. But there are other things that were more a part of my thought system, deeper in my thought system, that even as I started to see the error in my mind, I didn't let go of it. And do you know what gift every single time, without fail, what gift came that finally led me to let go of it? Was pain. 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 When I was just suffering so much. And you know what? I think I'm lucky. I think I might have a lower pain threshold for some. I think some maybe actually have to suffer more than I do. But when it was as much pain as I could handle, and I just couldn't take the pain anymore, then I would finally let go of the idea. And it's ridiculous, the ideas that I was clinging to. Okay, listen to these ideas that I cling to until I just couldn't bear the pain anymore. I clinged to the belief in betrayal. This is something I wanted to hold on to so much. I wanted to believe so much that these certain people had betrayed me, that I had to get to where I couldn't even bear the pain anymore before I just let go of the belief entirely in betrayal and realize that there's nothing here, you know, but the free Son of God. And if the free Son of God is perfectly free, there can be no expectations on him. And if there can be no expectations, then, you know, he can't betray. He can't betray. Because in order to betray, there has to be an expectation that he's required to follow. I mean, freedom cannot betray. Freedom can only be free. But I had to really suffer with a belief in a betrayal before I finally let go of the belief in betrayal. I loved that idea. Listen to how, this is why Jesus says we're insane. Listen to how insane that is. Another one. Here's another one that I just held on to and held on to and held on to. The belief in rejection. The belief in rejection. You know, we can't be rejected. Nobody ever rejects us. Even when it looks like rejection in form, it's really just another brother believing ideas in his own head and following out that script based on what he's believing. It's not a true rejection. There's no such thing as rejection. There's only acting out of ideas you believe in, and it's not the same thing. There is no such thing as rejection. But my God, and rejection, that doesn't even sound like a fun idea. Why would I want to hold on to it? But my God, I clung to it and clung to it until I was in so much pain that I had to let go of it. Another idea, the idea that I could be used, you know, used, and I want to say used and abused, you know, like just somebody just totally using me, you know, not caring about me at all, not giving me anything, just sucking everything they can out of me. It's another real attractive idea that I clung to, until Holy Spirit corrected that idea by getting into my heart when I was finally ready. Again, I had to go through a lot of pain. But Holy Spirit got in my heart and reminded me that what I want in this lifetime above all else is to be used by Him. And that the hand that is guiding me and that the one that is using me is Him for the benefit of all. And as soon as I saw that, the exact same situation that was causing me pain was pure joy. But what is so funny is if we look at these ideas, we're not looking at attractive ideas. We're not looking at anything that it makes sense to want to cling to. Why would I want to cling to the belief in rejection, the belief in being used and abused, the belief in betrayal? You know, why would I want to cling to these ideas? But these are the ones that I had to be pushed to the brink of my pain threshold before I finally let go. So pain is a great, great gift, but if we're, I'm going to say smart enough, maybe we don't have to go that far. Maybe we can just start seeing these ideas are false and letting go of them, you know, before we have to suffer quite so much. But if we do have to suffer quite so much, that's all okay too. All that really matters in the end is that we find these ideas in our mind that have no truth to them whatsoever and see honestly. Again, we're not talking bliss and any pretending like, you know, I don't believe in rejection when I do. We're talking about really seeing that these ideas have no validity. There's no truth to them. They're absolutely false. truly seeing that and then letting them go. And when we do, then we can't be hurt by even the same seeming actions in the world anymore. You know, it reminds me of in the Course when it says something about, you know, Judas didn't betray Jesus because Jesus didn't believe in betrayal. When I first read that, I didn't get it at all, because at that point I still totally believed in betrayal. And I thought, what do you mean? He just doesn't believe in it? Like betrayal was some reality. And, you know, what kind of a fool was Jesus just not to believe in it, you know, to not believe in reality? But I'm the one that was wrong. I was very, very, very wrong. There is no truth to betrayal, and I see that now. There is no truth to betrayal. It is impossible. Betrayal is merely a setup in the mind. You know, betrayal is merely a setup in the mind. And when we get that, really get that, then we cannot be betrayed. Just like Jesus could not be betrayed. So, this path that we're on is a great, great gift, because it truly is the path of freedom. But the one that sets us free is really me. Or us. For you, it's you. I can't set you free. I would if I could, because I love you. If I could, you know, reach into your mind and take out all of the false ideas, I would. But this is where we each have to accept the atonement for ourself. But of course, we help each other by doing it for ourself, because we share one mind. But we have to really want it, you know. You know, like the Course says, you know, it's one thing or it's really nothing to say, I want the peace of God. But of course, it's something else to mean it. It's everything to mean it. And to mean that I want the peace of God means that I am willing to accept that anything that causes me pain, whether that's great pain or mild annoyance, anything that causes me pain is an error in my mind 100% of the time. There's never an exception. And if we're willing to accept that and then just ask the Holy Spirit to help us see what we aren't seeing, we will uncover these mistaken treasures. I say mistaken treasures because we do, for some crazy reason, seem to value them. We will uncover these mistaken treasures and see that they're not what we want, and we will let go of them. But we have to accept the responsibility ourselves, and we can't do it by continually putting the guilt out there. I mean, I know this is common Course talk, but I also know that Course talk and practice aren't the same thing. And it's not Course talk that gets us there. It's actually practicing it for real in our own life. This is what wakes us up. This is what brings us joy. And this is what teaches us how much we already do love each other. The love's already there. It's already there. We can't help but love each other. We were created to love. But if we aren't seeing it, it's just because it's covered up with all of these other false ideas. But we really don't have to worry that we don't love our brother. That's impossible. That's impossible. We can't help but be in love. So, I think I'm done. It was really great chatting with you all tonight, and I'm going to hang around for a little bit, listen to Dave. I may have to go out and walk the dog and then come back and listen to Dave some more. I'm real excited that Dave is following me, because I love listening to Dave. And for a while there, Dave, I didn't cross paths with you very often, and I'm really happy to be crossing paths with you every Wednesday night again. I think it's a great opportunity for both of us. So thank you. And good night, everyone. I'll be back on Friday at 2 o'clock for the NTI study group. Bye.